This morning, to introduce our study, I want to read to you from Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 18 and continuing through verse 21. That's Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing, and do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Of course, we're familiar with this passage of Scriptures, and there are others in the Scriptures that are similar to it. You don't have that in your outline. The outline has the wrong Scripture on it. The outline is actually correct, but the Scripture was not. That's why Will was looking at me with that funny look, because he thought that's what he was going to have to read this morning. But today I want to talk about commitment. Now, you know, we talk a lot about commitment, don't we? And we put in our own minds and in the minds of our family members and that we need to be committed to the things that we do in life. We talk about, in here particularly, we talk about commitment to God, and we talk about commitment to Jesus. We talk about commitment to moral purity, and we talk about commitment to one another. You know, the first thing I want to mention about commitment is the fact that, you know, God created us for relationships. One of the first things God did in the beginning was to create a relationship. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, he said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And from that moment on, the entire Bible is about relationships, how we deal with each other in life. You know, the teachings of Jesus was always based on relationships. The right relationship with God the Father. The right relationship with one another. As we go through daily lives, we have to develop a right relationship with our employer and then other employees that we deal with from day to day. We have to develop a right relationship with government. And we have to develop a right relationship even with our enemies, those who are against us and don't appreciate us and our thinking. But I don't want to talk about any of these relationships this morning. What I want to talk about today is the relationships with our family in the home. You know, I don't mention very much about the home when I preach from week to week. I've done very few lessons on it. And that's an oversight of mine, and I'm going to change that today. I'm going to talk about the family relationship in the home, which is why I read from the book of Colossians a few moments ago. Relationship with as husband and wife, a relationship between parents and children, a relationship between brothers and sisters. We need to develop a correct relationship within the home. And let me say this. First of all, when we develop relationships with anything in life, we have to set priorities, the things that are most important, and deal with our priorities in life. You know, we have a lot of unhappy families today in our world. And it's because we have lost sight of what is most important. I don't know if I've told this story here at Dawson Road or not, but several years ago, when I was working for Motorola, we went through a seminar, and one of the things that we had to do was to prioritize our lives. And what he asked us to do was to prioritize, go back into, not many of us at that time could go back into the 50s, but think about how life was in, say, the 50s, and prioritize the most important thing in life in the 50s. And some of y'all can go back and actually do that. I was born in the 50s. I don't remember the 50s, but think about life in the 50s. That's what he asked us to do. Prioritize the most important thing and then make a list of lesser importance in your life. Then he said, I want you to go up to maybe the 60s and do the very same thing. And then he said, now I want you to skip the 70s and I want you to go to the 80s, because we were in the 80s when we were having this class. Today's time, he said. And tell that same list again of priorities. So we all did that. And this was the general thesis of the results. In the 50s, man generally put God first. He put family second. He put others third. When he went to the 60s, it was still God first, families second, and others third. But the percentages were quite different. God's level had come down quite a bit. Oh, and I forgot to mention the fourth one, myself, was number four in the 50s. When we got to the 60s, it was still God first, family second, but me came third in the 60s, and others came last. When we got to the 80s, it was a general consensus among the group in that room that we have become a group of self-pleasers. Number one was me. I call it I-itis. Myself was labeled as number one. Family was actually labeled as number two. Third was others, and God was last. And the percentages between myself and number two was staggering, the difference. Family and others were very close together in ratio, and God was almost non-existent. You know, we need to learn how to put first things first. Right relationships. Put God first. You know, I know that it's hard to do that. And I know that when we set our priorities in life, it's not going to be that way 24/7 for every day and every day. Things change in life. Situations make things change, and we have to change our priorities along with them. But for the most part, our priorities in life should not change. You know, I've always thought we need to look at our priorities in life the way you would look at a compass. Now, a compass, and we all know this, always points north. I mean, you can hold a compass in your hand, and you can spin around in circles, and that compass needle's going to spin because it's looking for north. And it's always going to show you north. But you know, like I said, you can bump it. You can turn it upside down. You can stand it on its side, and that needle's going to go somewhere else, isn't it? But when you put it back down in a steady position, what's it going to do? It's going to go back north. It's going to be where it needs to be. I think we need to develop our priorities in life the way the compass elevates its priorities to point north. So what I want to do this morning, I want us to look at some priorities that as a family, I'm not talking about a Christian family, I'm talking about the family in the home, which would include the Christian family because we're Christians, aren't we? So we want to talk about priorities in the home. First, number one priority in the home is the way it should be as it was in the 50s. Put God first. God must be first. You know, we can go back to Mount Sinai. Moses goes up on the mountain and he brings home the Ten Commandments. And the first one it said was in Exodus 20 and verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It was meant for God to be priority number one in everyone's life, period. Jesus taught priority of God number one. Priority number one in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. You're basically to give God the very best of everything that you have. In other words, you put Him first in your life. Now, this should be obvious to us that if God is not first in our life, then something is wrong with our life. If we do not have that kind of relationship with God, we will not have the resources, we will not have the direction, we will not have the power to cope with anything else in life in the right way if we don't put God first in our lives. Now, listen to this. God empowers us to become His child. He empowers us to put Him first in our lives. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, the King James says it, "But as many as received Him, He gave power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Now, what does that mean to the family? It means that God has empowered husband. He has empowered us to be the right kind of husband. He empowers women to be the right kind of wife, the right kind of parent, the right kind of grandparent. And if we will use God in this effort, we will do a much better job at doing this the right way. You see, God wants us to have happy homes. He wants us to become better individuals in life, better Christians in life, and He will empower us to do that if we will allow Him to do that. You know, you find me the most unhappy home, and you plug God into it. And you plug His Word into it, and you will find things begin to change. You find me the worst sinner that you know. And if that sinner will give the Spirit of God permission to work within their lives, you will see a changed individual. And we've all seen that happen, haven't we? Even within this church. The change that comes across people when they give their lives to the Lord. Now the question is, for us sitting here today as a Christian, do you give that to God? Do you prioritize Him as number one in your life? Have you done it in the past? Are you doing it now? God has to be number one for the family to function the way it needs to function. Priority number two, our spouse. Now, I know that I'm not talking to everybody right now because not everyone in here is married. But those of us who are married, and those of us who will marry someday, I want us to listen to what Paul has to say about men and women, husbands and wives, and the relationship that they are to have with each other. Paul tells us, in fact, he tells us twice. First of all, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." Now, not only is Paul telling you to do it, he is telling you why to do it. And the reason we do it is because Christ has done this for you. So we show that kind of love, husbands, to our wives because Jesus showed that kind of love for us. And then he says it again in Colossians 3 and verse 19. "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." You give them the honor and the respect and the love that they deserve in lives. Now, this works both ways. In Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, Paul tells us that wives must basically do the very same thing for their husbands. Love and appreciate them the way Christ loved and appreciated the church. Older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. You know, when I would preach on this as a younger man before our kids come along, it's kind of funny. When I would teach this in a Bible class, the first thing, when I read these passages, I would always say this. Now, ladies, I didn't write this. God did. I'm only passing it along. And this isn't a suggestion. This is a command. This is the way it is to be done. Someone once made the statement, well, I'll tell you one thing. If God takes this submission seriously, there's going to be a lot of people in trouble. I don't know. That'll be God. That won't be me. But I do know this. God means what he says in every verse from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And this is part of it. Husbands and wives, nothing on this earth outside of your relationship to God is more important than the relationship you have with one another. And that's the way God intended for it to be. Not your job, not your hobbies, not even yourself. The greatest thing, parents, that you can do for your children is to let them see that kind of love between the two of you as husband and wife. And then they will know that mama and daddy love one another, therefore they must love me too. Love God is number one, and love for one another is number two. Church, as a family, we as parents must be committed to one another. Now, priority number three, our children. God meant for children to bring happiness into our homes. Now, we don't know how long Adam and Eve were married before they had children. We don't know that. We don't really even know that the children were in Eden, because the Bible is not in chronological order, and we know that. But you know, sometimes the opposite is true. Sometimes we don't look at our children as one to bring a lot of happiness. And I think a lot of unhappiness fails when we don't take the responsibility of raising our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's a failure on our part. And Paul tells us to do this in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Now, let me say something. And I'm hoping, parents, that you don't get mad at me for this. But God has not given the responsibility of raising your children to anyone else but you. He didn't give this responsibility, first of all, to the government. Even though the government likes to stick its nose into the parenting business and tell us what we can and cannot do as parents. They enjoy doing that for some reason. But it's not their job. It's not the job of the local school board, even though they also like to take control of your parenting skills and authority in making rules that makes it more difficult for us to be parents. And no, it's not the responsibility of the church to raise your children. You know, many people use churches as babysitters. We'll bring our kids to Bible class and we'll drop them off, and now we've got a little time away from them and we won't give them another thought until it's time to come get them and put them back in the car and take them home. And yes, we have people that do that. Now, this may not sound like a big deal, but what it means is that we're putting our children in an environment to where they could be unsupervised. And one of the worst things that you can do for a small child is let him go around unsupervised. We had an incident take place at the last church that Pat and I worked at, which was the Lone Cedar Church of Christ in Florence, Alabama. We had an incident take place there were unsupervised children, were allowed to run around in the hallways, down the aisles of the church, and into the lobby on a continual basis. And one day, while they were doing this, a child ran into an elderly lady, knocked her down, and broke her arm. Now, the saddest part about that is that this lady never recovered fully from that broken arm. In fact, it was suspected that it was the beginning of a series of events that led to her death. Parents, please do not let your children run rampant in this church building before somebody gets hurt. Our children's spiritual, emotional, cultural, social, educational, financial, physical welfare is on you. It's not on me as a preacher or an elder. It's not on Dawson Road as a church. It's not on your town government. It's not in Washington. It is in your home. And you are to be the one to control your children. And in doing so, you're not only bringing honor to them, you're bringing honor to God. The problem is, if we remove that authority and give it to somebody else, we have damaged our own children in the process. Priority number four, your job. Now, wait a minute, Farron. Now you're getting into my pocketbook. I've got to work. I've got to make money. That's how I support my children with my job when I get paid on Friday and I put that money in the bank and now I've got money to buy groceries and make my house payment and my car payment and everybody else. And Paul said that is absolutely right. That's exactly what you do. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those in his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So yeah, we have that responsibility. But you know, I doubt very seriously that's the problem here. I doubt that it's a problem in most places. Our problem is that we have allowed the world to squeeze us into its mold, and we have pushed number four up to number one. And we have put the spouse and the children on the back burner. And God on the back burner. You see, we have changed our priorities. Now, fathers, we've been guilty of that for years. Because we're, and it has been for the longest of time, we're basically the breadwinners in the home. And now, that since we have become a two-person income society, which we have become this, the mothers have fallen into this same devilish scheme that the job is the most important thing that we have. Listen, we have to work to earn a livelihood, both husbands and wives. We know that, and that's fine. Work if you wish. There's nothing wrong with that. But never, never, never let your job remove your priority and your commitment to your God and your commitment to your spouse and your commitment to your family. Remember, God made us for relationships. He didn't make us for things. He didn't make us to make money. He didn't make us to climb the corporate ladder. He made us for relationships. The biggest problem is now the list of priorities has changed. Myself, my job is now number one. The family has dropped way down. And if you look at the picture there, God doesn't even exist anymore. Isn't that sad? But that's what society has done to us. And many people have done this to themselves. The family has been pushed back, and God has been taken out of the picture. The fact is, God has given us instructions on how to have a proper relationship with Him and with one another. Now, let me ask you this. What kind of relationship do you have with your God this morning? Are you His child? Are you in Christ? Are you born of the water and of the Spirit? What kind of relationship do you have with your family? Is it a Christian relationship? Do your children see you putting God first in your life? Do your children see you putting the mother, the father, and them as prioritized in your life? If not, maybe you need to change who you are and the priorities that you have set for yourself in life. You know, regardless of who you are this morning, you can become a child of God. Through faith, through repentance, through confession, through baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, you can walk out of here this morning as a Christian. And you can take it home with you. And you can be a Christian at home. And you can be a Christian in front of your family. And they can see it. And it will help them. Perhaps as a Christian, you need to correct some of your relationships. Perhaps you need to correct your relationship with your family, with your friends, with your church. Remember, there is no sin that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse. There is no sin that Jesus will not forgive. We just simply need to acknowledge them, confess them, forsake them, and obey His commandments. Whatever your need is this morning, to be the right kind of Christian, to be the right kind of husband, wife, parent, child, regardless of it, we want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Come if you need while we stand and sing this song.